助けてほしいかナナミ。
心を燃やせ、限界を超えろ。
Hello and welcome to More Than Headlines, your weekly anime news podcast powered by Audio Technica, made by Australians for global citizens. I'm your extremely humble host, Brenda White, aka the Salt and Pepper Senpai. And joining me in the studio, my trusted co-host and rival, the Akio, my Tomoya, Mrs. Courtney Smith. How the bloody hell are you?
I am so good. It was fun in Melbourne, but it is really good to be back in Sydney and just relaxing in my own bed with my cat, with my husband, just watching anime and chilling. How are you?
Yeah, I'm happy to be home, happy to be in my little comfort zone as well. But I'm also happy that we got to experience TGX together and record in person. It was always a bit of a trial and error type of scenario, first time and going in and winging it. So it's nice to be home in our familiar surroundings, in our localized respective Sugoi studios. But we're here for episode 42. We are recording on Sunday, the 30th of March. We're just about to tick into Q2, which is insane to think about.
Yeah, we've already gone through one season of anime this year. I don't know about you, but I'm starting to wrap up a lot of those series, some that I'm glad are finished, some that I'm sad are finishing. So hopefully the next season is looking just as good.
Yeah, I'm happy to see the back end of a lot of anime that I've watched this past season, because committing to 27, or like, you know, having an attempt to watch 27 anime was psychotic. And there is a big chasm between the great and the average and even the below average, and I've sort of ran that entire gamut. So I'm looking forward to sort of diving deep on all the anime we've watched in episode 43 with next week's episode. But yeah, we are going to be doing something a little different. There's not going to be a ton of news coverage here on episode 42. We're going to sort of jump in and talk about the season to come. So we're going to be unpacking the spring season that is on our doorstep. So we're going to be talking through what's on our respective watch lists, maybe sort of predicting at the end of it here as well, like what we think might be the highest scoring and lower scoring out of our respective lists on my anime list. Maybe put a little friendly wager on the back of that as well, because who doesn't like a little gamble? But yeah, I guess we could jump in and sort of start with that. Like, so yeah, no news headlines, but all we're going to be doing is predicting and forecasting and talking about our most anticipated from the spring 2025 season, presented by our friends over at Iced Tea Aesthetics, where anime meets streetwear. Go cop their new free run drop immediately. There is so many fantastic, fresh and tasty designs and on that web store there. And while you're there, be sure to use code SakuraSociety5. That is all one word, and the 5 is the number 5. So SakuraSociety5 at checkout to save yourself some cashish on your order. But Courtney, how do you want to do this? Should we sort of just reverse? Like, I've ordered these as close as I could as far as maybe least to most anticipated for myself. Have you done the same?
I haven't. I've ordered them in terms of popularity or members on my anime list. So I'm happy to do it either way, because we do have a bit of crossover. Mm-hmm. So shall we go start with yours and we'll go through your list, and then anything that's missing from mine we can cover in between.
Yeah, that sounds good. So yeah, I've grabbed all the My Anime List rankings of them as well, but they're not in that order. It's more so as in like most anticipated or what I'm most excited to watch. I've sort of mentioned earlier that I've had 27 this past season, far too many. I'm at 20 this season, which I still think is probably too many, but watching a lot of these trailers and reading these synopses, I can't help but want to watch some of these things. So hence my list has scaled back a little, but 20 is my commitment for now. I'm getting better. I wanted to get the Baker's Dozen here because I love the number 13 and I love sweet pastry treats, but yeah, I can't find 7 of these to cull off this list so far. So it's a Baker's Dozen plus 7 for me, Courtney.
Look, to be fair, I also couldn't even get that low. Like, I have 16 on my plan to watch list for next season, and I was like, I wanted to cut it down more, and I probably could have, but I was like, no, I'm just gonna roll with it. Like, 16 is not as many as 20, so I'll take that.
And 16, that's good. Like, I remember you were very hesitant at first, you know, go above 10 or go above 12. That was sort of your like internal ruling you had for every season. Now look at you growing, and sort of 16, I think, is a good soft cap.
Thank you. shall we get into it?
We shall, we shall. So, all right. So my number 20, I was unsure of if I should put this on the list or not, because there is some controversial themes and subtext here. But my number 20 on my list, it's currently the number 17 based off popularity on my anime list. The Children of the Shinuji Family. And my notes, so I've just put some like little notes and quick thoughts based off the trailers and what I think about these. So yeah, the Children of the Shinuji Family, two sons and five daughters who find out they aren't in fact related. What's our MC Arata to do? I was unsure about this, but then I watched the trailer after reading that synopsis, because it's got some, you know, implied incesty type of vibes going on here. But the animation is done by Doga Kobo, obviously most notable for Oshinoko and Alia Sometimes Hides Her Feelings in Russian. It looks really nice from a visual standpoint. The trailer seems to be pretty free of smut and like lewdness. There is obviously some implications there as far as these daughters allegedly crushing on this brother that's not a brother. So I'm curious how it's going to play out. So it's just snuck in the back end of my watch list here, because there's a few, I went and rewatched some trailers that were sitting at 20 and I'm like, I really don't care about this, where this could maybe be a little surprise packet, but I feel worried that I'm going to get persecuted that I want to watch this due to some of the subtext.
Well, it's not even that you're going to get persecuted from the subtext, Brendan. The fact is you're going to get persecuted because the manga has a score of 6.8 on Mel. It's a love polygon harem-y vibes show. Comedy and romance. There is no ecchi, which, you know, that's a step in the right direction, but it definitely does have that very typical, like, I have so many stepsisters. Oh no, what am I going to do?
Like, is this maybe going to be the better version of tying the knot with an Amagami sister? Maybe?
I don't think so. Can't be any worse. Look, here's the thing. Amagami sister, the only reason I was able to forgive it is it was set in a shrine, which is a more interesting setting that we've gotten for most of these kinds of shows. So that's the only reason I gave it a go in the first place.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. So yeah, that's my number 20. My number 19, this is where our first bit of crossover comes in. Yeah. Zatsutabi, that's Journey, number 30 on my anime list. It's cute, it's cozy, and looks like it's full of spontaneity. Watching Chika just randomly adventure around Japan feels like it's going to be a very fun and easy watch for me.
Yeah, I think, so the reason I added this to my list is I love something that has that kind of slice of life adventure vibes, very much like Yuru Camp and things like that. So that's why I added it. Basically, it's about a rookie manga artist. She keeps getting rejected for all of her drafts. She's about to give up, but then suddenly she's like, okay, I'm gonna go on a journey. And it's a really tough journey, and she's kind of writing manga inspired by it. And for her, it's healing and helping her kind of grow. So that, to me, sounds very wholesome, which is why it's on my list.
Yeah, and looking at, I think, both our lists, we've got a lot of cozy stuff this season. There is a few titles that have so much synergy and cross-section as far as theme and tone, which I'm excited for, because we don't want too much sort of balls to the wall. We need to catch our breath sometimes, especially if we're watching 20 and 16 different seasons. My number 18, this was a late addition to the list because I sort of skimmed past it at first off Mal. I'm like, oh, it's just going to be another generic copy-paste sort of fantasy type of jaunts. And that is Sword of the Demon Hunter, Keiji Gentoshu. And that is number 15 on my anime list. That was the first reason I sort of took notice. I'm like, oh, okay, 15 out of potentially 60 anime entries. Maybe it's worth checking out. I watched the trailer, and the way I'm going to describe this is Edo period time travel violent samurai fantasy. Yes,
yeah.
Please. That sounds great. It looks good. And I'm all about that wording that I just said.
Yes. So I actually considered putting this on my plan to watch list. This was one that I really actually very much almost put it on my plan to watch list for this season. But the only reason I didn't was because I was a bit worried, I guess, about that fantasy aspect of it. Like, it does have the historical aspect, which I do like, and the manga is rated pretty highly on Mal, 7.48. It has a really cool art style. Mm. The main character's a hunk. Like, you know, theoretically, it could be good for me, but I think I'm just going to sit on this one a little bit and wait and see what everybody else thinks.
I just want to highlight the fact that you used the word hunk in the year 2025. I'm hoping we bring that back in a big way, because I don't think I've heard that word apart from referencing the fantastic character from Resident Evil franchise in the last decade. So let's do what we can to bring hunk back into the regular vocab here. So yeah, sort of the Demon Hunter. It looks good. And yeah, based off what you just said and the hype behind it, not only from the manga, but also just the general hype on Mal, I feel it's got some sneaky potential.
Yeah. No, I agree. Let me know how it goes.
Mm, will do. Will do. Okay, so the next one, it's a crossover on both our lists again. Catch Me at the Ballpark, number 43 on my anime list. And it's a comedy sports anime, but I like that it's not focused on some budding up-and-coming baseball star, but instead we're focused and centered around Ruriko, who's a gyaro who serves beer at the stadium. And she has a chance encounter with this overworked character named Murata. So we sort of see their friendship and bond develop. He's hoping, though, there's more of a home run than a strikeout. But the art style looks cool, the comedic tone I'm vibing, and I like that we're sort of getting, you'd say maybe like a sports-adjacent type of anime here, where we've got a baseball setting, but it's more so focused about what's happening in the stands as opposed to on the field. And I just love me a gyaro. And I'm curious if we do get a dub, because one thing I've noticed, anytime there's a gyaro-based character in a dub, they always get like a Southern American accent for some reason. That's the trope. They just go, all right, she's a gyaro, so now she got to talk like this. And I'm like, why? 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 But let's see if it happens with Catch Me in the Ballpark.
Yeah, so this series, this is on my list, Catch Me at the Ballpark. I don't have high hopes for it. I'm going to say that now. The reason that I have put this on my list, though, is that I am a huge baseball fan. I used to play baseball. I enjoyed it when I was living in Japan. I joined my local club when I moved back to Australia, and I really like the sport. So the reason I'm most excited for this is because it is essentially another baseball anime, but we also are getting this adult cast. You know, we have this office worker who's like, just needs to relax, likes to go watch the baseball, have a beer, has a good time. The manga has a score of 6.78 on Mal. So not super high, but not necessarily bad either. So I think it will be fun, at least, even if it's not good.
I think it'll be an entertaining watch. And like, you know, a boozy gyaro menace, like, you know, that is one of your favorite types of characters. And then tying that in with the love of baseball, I can see why you're vibing with it.
Yeah.
All right. My number 16 is on both our lists again. And this is an anime titled Mono. It is number 36 on my anime list. The Laidback Camp creator, that's their new anime. And it's focused around a cinephoto club. It just looks cozy as fuck. And I'm here for it. Like, I love Laidback Camp. And if it's going to even hit 80% of what we get from that fantastic story, this is going to be just nice and wholesome and an easy, inoffensive watch that's going to leave you feeling good.
Yeah, and I think because this anime is based off of a 4-coma manga, which means that every chapter of the manga is only 4 panels long, basically. So we're most likely going to be getting some shorter episodes, hopefully, and they'll be quite simple, very like Yuru Camp or Laidback Camp like in that aspect. The art style is, of course, really, really cute. The manga has a score of 7.6 on Mal, but I will say that usually 4-comas do end up having a lower score just because they are shorter and they don't have as much of an overarching story compared to longer manga series. So I have high hopes for Mono.
Me too. I think it's going to be enjoyable, and I like seeing the worlds of the cinema club and the photography club collide, because both clubs are going under at the school and they've got to combine. So it's going to be cute. It's going to be sweet. And yeah, it's going to be probably one of the most enjoyable, comforting anime of the spring season, I think.
Yes, I am very excited to see these cute girls doing cute things.
Oh, yeah. And the next one, again, it is a crossover on both our lists. My number 15, it is the 22nd ranked most popular anime of the spring season on Mal. Mobile Suit Gundam, G-Quax. Never going to be sad about more Gundam. And I like that this story feels like it's going to be lower stakes than some of the other stuff we've watched recently. Like, from what I can gather from the synopses and the trailers, We're going to be focused on sort of Gundam-based clan battles. And so, yeah, they're just going to be, they're battling for money, really. So we're going to see Gundam battles with cash-based stakes. I love that the art style for this iteration of Gundam, it reminds me so much of Gurren Lagann, like the art style, the character models. I saw it and I'm like, hang on here. Have we got some crossover with Gainax somehow? Is there a Gainax animator that sort of snuck in the back here and is doing this? I don't think that's the case, but it looks good. I love sort of mecha, and this feels like it's going to be a return to form after the rough digital entry that we saw on Netflix in the Gundam world that dropped last year.
So I'm excited for this because, as Brenda knows, this is my first foray into the world of Gundam. I missed Witch from Mercury, which, you know, is now on my plan to watch list, and I'll get around to it in 10 years. But this new Gundam series, G-Quacks, is about a high school student that's living in a space colony. She meets a war refugee named Nyan, and she's drawn into the illegal mobile suit dueling sport known as Clan Battle. Under the entry name Machu, she throws herself into fierce battle day after day, piloting the G-Quacks. Then an unidentified Gundam mobile suit pursued by both the Space Force and the police appears before her, along with its pilot, a boy named Shuji. Now their world is about to enter a new era.
It sounds good. It looks good. And I'm eagerly optimistic because, yeah, Witch from Mercury, fantastic. Some of the best Gundam-related content we've had in many years. And hopefully this can at least be, you know, half as solid as Witch because, yeah, it looks like it's something that's going to be very enjoyable. I'm excited to hear your feelings after your first foray into the Gundam universe.
Me too. I'm actually really excited.
Hell yeah. I'm quietly excited for this next one, number 14. Food for the Soul, number 45 on my anime list. So it's a bit of a deeper cut here because it's sort of way down the bottom as far as popularity goes. A very cozy ONA animated by PA Works. So that was the first one. I'm like, all right, I love what PA Works usually do. Let's give it a look. I watched the trailer. It's focused around five female university students who love delicious food and just want to have fun. And I'm like, you know what? I love food-related anime. I love cozy anime. I love these more adult related stories. Like, I like that it's set in a university as opposed to a high school. And yeah, PA Works again, like they always usually give me the, like, I give them the benefit of the doubt, and this looks like it's going to be again another cozy, enjoyable jaunt.
Yes, this one I also considered adding to my list. The one thing actually that stopped me was the animation. Surprisingly, the art style is gorgeous and really, really cute. I love the art style, but I was looking at some of the animation and it just didn't look up to scratch for something that I guess surrounds this theme of slice of life and food. I was like, I just wanted a little bit more. I'm keen to see though if the story or the themes end up being really good, then I definitely will want to check it out.
Hell yeah. Yeah, well, I'll let you know. Like, it could be largely forgettable, but the vibes feel pretty positive so far from what I've seen. And yeah, it just scratches a lot of personal itches. Like, anything food related in media, I'll usually give it a look and we'll see how this goes. I'll know pretty quickly if it's going to be sort of a keeper or a, you know, park it on the bench. So
yeah, definitely let me know.
Yeah, I'll let you and the Sugoi Squad know. My number 13, Go-Go Loser Ranger season 2. Number 10 on my anime list. I really, really enjoyed season 1 and I feel that it had such a fun and fresh take on the superhero formula. I'm very keen to see more of D's war against the Dragon Keepers, and I'm also hoping that we somehow manage to get yet another fire opening and ending as well, because they had two of the best tracks of 2024 when it came to not only the musical element but also the animation that accompanied those OP and ED. So I'm optimistic. I like that we're sort of seeing the dark side of the pseudo Power Ranger, if you want to put it that way. And yeah, it was cool. It was a surprise packet of last year for me.
Yeah, I ended up not checking it out, but hearing a lot of good things about the first season of Go-Go Loser Ranger. And now obviously it's getting a second season, so it's, you know, not terrible. I think I'm curious to see how people are talking about it when the second season comes out, if it kind of lifts up that first season or brings it down.
Mm. Yeah, I'm curious. I just like as well that we've got such a fast turnaround. Like when we're seeing a second season follow within 12 months after the first, like that makes me so happy because we've got a few here we're going to be talking about where it's been like 3+ years between drinks going from season one to season two. My number 12, like I'll be honest, this next sort of bunch of almost 6 or 7 anime could be all interchangeable depending on the vibe and the mood. So don't sort of take this being at number 12 or number 11 as, oh, it's no good. It's just, I didn't really know where to place them. So my number 12, Kowloon Generic Romance, number 16 on my anime list. It's on your list as well. Just that the 90s vibes and aesthetic is everything to me. Like it's just got such a cool and distinctive look from the rest of just about everything on this list. It's a romance science fiction tale about Reiko and Hajime, two people residing in Kowloon Walled City, which is a slum that serves as a refuge for people who long for the Hong Kong of old, a city that is full of secrets and mystery. Like, it's just a vibe, Courtney. I'm here for this one.
Yeah, so the story is actually really interesting. So basically, they often are bickering, Reiko and Hajime, but one day a prank gone wrong leads Hajime to make an unexpected advance towards Reiko, after which he swiftly apologizes, but baffled by his actions, Reiko starts investigating for possible explanations, only to discover a past that she has no memory of. So we're getting that cool sci-fi romance vibe, which I love. And then the manga has a score of 7.72 on Mal. So good vibes. I'm excited. I love, like you said, those 90s anime vibes. I love Hong Kong. Like I've traveled there and I love it as a city. So having an anime set in that amazing city and country is so great. I'm very excited for Kowloon Generic Romance.
Yeah, I think this could be one of the sleepers of the season. Like it's just got such a unique vibe and I love the story and the premise. So I've got high hopes on Kowloon that could end up being, you know, one of the hits of spring, hopefully, yes. Fingers crossed. This one again, this is on both our lists. I feel bad having it at 11 because I love season one, but again, I just didn't know where to place some of these. So I sort of just like threw them all in a pot and went, yep, that'll do. So my number 11, also on Courtney's list, Aaron San, season 2, number 8 on my anime list. Season 1 was such a goddamn adorable delight. And it's awesome to see us getting another season, albeit 3 years later. So we had to wait a little longer to get the second season. But I love the dynamic between our two leads. I'm looking forward to so many more awkward yet wholesome situations playing out in season 2 because the trailer for season 2, it just feels like a direct continuation from season 1. It's got the same look. It's got the same vibe and tone. And it's just cute and funny and silly and relatable. And I'm here for it.
I love Aharen-san. This, I feel like it's so underrated. Like people either watched or just completely slept on the first season. And I feel like a lot of the people that watched it were like, it's fine. I'm like, no, this is one of the greatest anime of all time. You cannot tell me you see a tiny cute girl who has no sense of personal space, but the guy is like, into it. He loves it. He thinks it's the cutest thing ever. She can't put in eye drops because she's so tiny. She's just a little guy. It's amazing. I love this show. I'm so excited for season 2. Aharen-san, be my best friend, please. I'm begging.
I love her entire family as well. Like some of the interactions we had with her relations and Raidu in season 1 was phenomenal. So yeah, I know this is going to be great. I think it's going to score hopefully really well in sort of the Mal rankings when season 2 starts folding out. And yeah, I'm hyped. This is going to be one of the bangers of the spring season, I have no doubt.
Look, even if other people say they don't care about Aharen-san, I care about Aharen-san. You care about Aharen-san. Aharen-san is God, I think. If Aharen-san was like, came down as Jesus at the apocalypse, you know, what is it called when,
like the rapture?
Yeah, the rapture. If Jesus isn't Aharen-san, I think I'll riot.
Little pocket Jesus with silver hair and big eyes.
I'll show everyone a rapture.
Ah, goodness. I hope that Aharen-san is somehow our deity that's keeping us all safe now I think about that. My number 10, it is on your list as well. It's number 26 on the Mal rankings. Rock is a Lady's Modesty. We've been talking and singing this tune's praises for many a month now. on more than headlines. I cannot wait to see Lilisa and Otoha embrace their inner rock stars while elegantly clashing and shouting their way through the academy in this captivating tale of grace and rebellion. It looks like it's going to be a good time. Love the art style, love music-related anime, and I love a good rebellious sort of story and tone and theme here. So yeah, Rocker's Lady's Modesty, it's going to be great. It's going to be on High Dive. Give it a peek.
Yes, I am so excited for this series because I think we've spoke about it a lot before, but the influx of anime that are just girls playing music and really being able to express themselves this way when, you know, traditionally they live in a society where they can't express themselves very well at all, and music becomes that kind of medium through which they can do that, is really, really cool. We've also had a lot of the character PVs and the character key visuals, which are so cool. They look so sick. We see each of the characters kind of walking through the school. You know, they're really fancy all-girls school in their uniforms. And then suddenly we get the switch to them in like cool rocket outfits, like slaying on their instruments. And it just feels like it's going to bring the vibes.
I thought Lilisa was Shinomiya's like twin sister from Kaiju Number 8 when, yes, I first saw her. They've got almost the exact same look and feel, complete with the blonde twin tails. But yeah, this is going to be an absolute banger and a toe tapper. I'm excited as hell for Rocker's Lady's Modesty.
Yeah, no, I feel like it's going to be really good. And even if it doesn't live up to the hype that we're giving it, at least we have those cool character designs. Mm.
Yeah, and I would be very upset if we don't get at least one cool music-related anime every season moving forward, because we've had a lot of consistent, fantastic, high-quality music-related stuff the last 12 months, and I hope Rocker's Lady's Modesty can sort of continue that consistency.
Yeah.
My number 9, it is on your list as well. It is ranked number 19 on my anime list. Your Former. The animation from Geno Studio combines really, really well with such a cool concept about a genius electronic investigator known as Ichika Hieda being paired with an android named Harold Lucraft to stop a deadly global technological infection. Watching the trailer, reading the synopses, I couldn't help but think this is equal parts Psycho Pass, equal parts Minority Report, and equal parts Too Human, if you ever watch that as well. It's a live action, but it is cool. It's got a really cool aesthetic. I love, even though it's set in 2023, it does have that sort of futuristic vibe to it. And the fact that we're getting the human and android dynamic and relationship as far as how they work in together, it just looks like it's going to be a good time.
So I put this on my list. I don't know what I was originally thinking. I think I watched the trailer and I was like, that looks sick. And I've noticed now, after this season, or as this new season's coming in, I've noticed I have a tendency to somehow always put a detective anime on my list. Like, just every season, without fail, there's a random detective anime. And usually when I'm watching them, I'm watching them and Dan will walk in. And he's like, oh, is this another detective anime? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, you're always watching detective anime. And he's like, what detective is it this time? And I'm like, you know, he's like, is it the Sherlock Holmes guy who lies next to the dead bodies? I'm like, no. And he's like, is it the weird Twinkie detectives at the school? I'm like, no. He's like, is it the princess principal detective? I'm like, no. Like, there's always a different detective. And I'm like, this is just my life now.
It's a good life to live. And I'm sad then that you didn't decide on the dinner table detective from this coming season.
Well, you see, Brendan, I can only have one detective anime.
Oh, you're loyal to your detectives. Monogamous with your detectives per season.
Yes, only one detective anime per season, so which is why I've picked Your Former. It looks fun. I like, you know, I love a sci-fi vibe. I like that it is, you know, they're diving into people's memories. It reminds me a lot of, yeah, like you said, Psycho Pass. And that, you know, it seems like it's going to be fun. Mm. I'm down. Let's go.
I'm so down. Yeah, I think if that same consistency and quality that they achieved in that trailer is going to be throughout this season, I think it's going to be a really enjoyable watch because, yeah, we're sci-fi fans here. We love that shit. And Your Former looks like it's going to bring it. keeping on the sci-fi theme, my number 8, number 24 on MAL based on popularity, it's an ONA by Wit Studio landing exclusively on Netflix about a cosmic conflict between Earth and the Moon, written by a man, Wakata, who has attachments to franchises such as Ghost in the Shell and Psycho Pass. Sign me the hell up. Artistically, it looks fantastic. I love sort of space conflict. I love science fiction. And yeah, Moonrise, I feel it's going to be a banger because Wit rarely attach themselves to a bad IP. And I like that this is new and fresh and isn't coming from sort of some form of manga or light novel. This is brand spanking new for us all.
I did look at this because Netflix were really pushing it on their socials and I looked into it. And this was another one where I thought, I won't add it to my list at first, but if it does end up getting a lot of hype and a lot of people talking about it, I probably will dive in because once again, it's got that kind of 1984 vibe of, you know, behave, do the right thing, and you won't get sent to the moon as our prison colony. Which is a fun premise.
It is a fun premise. And yeah, artistically, it looks great. The story sounds interesting. And like you said, Netflix is sort of pumping a lot into this, like this. And I forgot as well, Devil May Cry isn't popping up in the spring listings. I'd say that's probably on our collective lists. I just realized when I was scrolling through. So that would get an honorable mention on here for sure as well. But Netflix with two exclusives with Devil May Cry and Moonrise this season, you know, they're continuing to sort of gobble up little IPs and sort of timed exclusive access. And it's good to see.
I actually want to mention that. I'm glad that you brought up that Devil May Cry isn't on our list. And the reason we haven't added it is because my anime list don't have it on their anime database, essentially. So the reason that we've kind of missed it in our list is because it's not on my anime list. But obviously we're both planning on watching it. The interesting thing with the Devil May Cry anime, I will say quickly, is that they're dropping all of the episodes at once. So it's going to be a, you know, scramble to kind of watch everything and get it all done so you can avoid spoilers and kind of be part of that online discourse, which really frustrates me. But hopefully we can kind of get through it and we can talk about it a bit on the podcast when it comes out.
Hell yeah, hell yeah. And also got an episode of More Than Hentai covering the first episode of Devil May Cry that will be dropping within a couple of days of it all sort of landing on April 3rd/April 4th, depending on where you're in the world. So yeah, Adi Shankar and Netflix, they just love that sort of just simul drop of everything. It's like, here you go, here's the season, good luck. I wish they did do a weekly. I don't know what's happening, if Moonrise is following that same tone, if it's going to be all in one or if it's going to be a weekly sort of digest. Because we do see them do that, like My Happy Marriage, Sakamoto Days and stuff like that. That has been the weekly. So hopefully Moonrise will sort of follow that trend as opposed to the Adi Shankar type of drops that we're seeing where it's just like, here's the season. Good luck.
Yeah.
The next one, my number 7, it is on your list as well. Number 11 based on popularity on my anime list, Witch Watch. This looks fun. It's a great mix of supernatural, magic, comedy, and maybe, just maybe, a little bit of romance, question mark. I'm already calling Nico the best girl for this season, and I'm rooting for her to win over her childhood friend, Morihito. The trailer just brings it, and I was laughing and smiling and just feeling good. Like, it's a tone and a vibe that I want to be part of.
Yes, I saw this anime up on this seasonal list, and I was like, this looks fantastic. It looks fun. The manga has a not a low score, but an average score on my anime list of 6.98. But essentially, it's about Nico. She's finished her 6 years of witch training. She's moving back to town by herself. As a new witch, though, she needs to choose a familiar to accompany her. But instead of picking an animal familiar like the other witches, she picks her childhood friend, Moi, or Morihito. Who happens to be an ogre.
It's so good.
And he's like, hey, I don't want to be your servant. But she's like, if you don't, I'll curse you and you'll be a cow-tiger hybrid. And he's like, oh, well, damn, I guess I have to become your familiar now. So his dad goes on a business trip. Her mum is back in the witch's holy land. They find themselves living together under the same roof. And while Nico, our witch, is ecstatic to be living with her crush, Morihito finds that her magical antics and overall clumsiness create more problems than solutions. We love a clumsy girl. With a prophesied disaster to befall her within the year, he must do everything he can to protect her as her bodyguard while also upholding his duties as her familiar. It sounds so good.
It sounds great. And there was a part at the end of the trailer where she uses a spell and turns herself into like this thin, almost like paper girl, and is just sort of floating down the street as Morihito chases after her. I was cackling. It's just a time and a vibe. Like, I feel it's going to have a similar like level of humor like we got in like Mashley and stuff like that.
Yeah.
To a degree. But yeah, I love the concept. The animation is gorgeous. And yeah, I'm already really sort of standing for Nico. I think she's just going to be a fantastic character. And like you said, like, we love a clumsy girl. It's going to be one of my favorite of this season, I'm sure.
And Yoasobi is doing the opening as well.
Yes.
So it's going to be a banger. We already know.
Yeah. Yoasobi does not miss.
No.
Never, ever. Never, ever, ever. All right. Number six on my list. It is the number four most popular anime of the spring season on MAL. We're talking Windbreaker Season 2. Season 1 ended so goddamn abruptly, and it was a little jarring. We've sort of talked about that here on More Than Headlines. But I'm happy that we didn't have to wait long at all for Season 2. Like, we're getting, again, that second season 12 months after the first. Bofurin versus Kiel is going to be sick. I'm rooting for all our favorite hot boys. I like that we're sort of, I guess, getting away from the tournament style fight arc that we had in season one. And this just looks almost like just, it's a free for all street brawl. And we're seeing these Kiel members using like spiked baseball bats and stuff. Like, it looks like it's going to be heavy and brutal and impactful, but also still somehow like funny and charming and sweet. And we've got just an endless murderer's row of hot boys for everyone to fawn over. Like, we see all our favorites, like Suo is still there hanging out, doing his thing with his fantastic earrings. And then the rest of the Bofurin crew just living their best lives, Courtney.
Yeah, so the only reason I'm really excited for second season of Windbreaker is the hot boys. I obviously love Suo. I'm also going to call out a few more hot boys that I like because I have a one-track mind. But we've also got Hajime Umemiya, who I absolutely adore. And then who's the guy that wears the sandals?
Don't ask me that. I'm blanking now.
The orange guy. the guy with the orange jacket.
God. Yeah, the guy, and he had the glasses and the dark hair.
Yeah. Oh, Joe. Togame. I love him. So those three boys, Suo, Hajime, and Togame, I am very, very excited for. Otherwise, I actually found the first season really slow. And the only thing that really made me pay attention was Hot Boys. So we'll see how we go with season two.
Yeah, it felt like season one was missing a few episodes, or they went, oh, we had 14 episodes to do this. Now I've only got 12. Quick, let's finish the story and cram it all in at the end. Like,
yeah, I feel like they spent too much time on certain aspects and scenes instead of really pacing themselves properly, which was, like you said, a bit jarring. So I'm hoping that season two can kind of pull itself out of that.
I hope so. And listeners, viewers, the Oi Squad, if you're on the fence about Windbreaker, go check out the Windbreaker More Than Hentai deep dive to see if this anime is for you. My number five on here, I don't know why it ended up at number five, but I was doing this at a very late hour. This anime,
clearly,
it's number seven on my anime list. It's not on Courtney's list. It's called Please Put Them On, Takamine-san. And here's my wording that I sort of wrote at some ungodly hour. Etchy-laden time travel down the eternal virgin road while a human closet keeps spare underwear on hand. Yes, you heard that correctly. So Takane, she's got an ability to be able to redo past actions, which can only be activated by removing a piece of her lingerie. Yes, you heard that correctly as well. This is going to be pure trash. But knowing that Leiden Films is involved makes me think it could end up being good. I'm wondering if this is going to be the same sort of tone as far as 100 Girlfriends. It's going to be phenomenal. The art style, it looks pretty good. Yes, there is a ton of fan service here, obviously, by the fact this is tied into a character that has ability to sort of reverse time, redo her things by removing her panties. I don't know how that's going to play out on screen, but I'm like, you know what? It could be a sleeper or it could be the worst thing of the season. I think there's no in between. I think it goes one way or the other.
So, listeners, viewers, Segoy Squad, Brendan has this thing that he does where he sees a studio is working on something and he likes to remember all the good things they've done. He likes to think, oh, Leiden Films, they have done great things like Call of the Night, love. They did Tokyo Revengers, slay. They did the new Initial D movies, which are great and we love. But he forgets that studios also do a lot of not so great anime, and Leiden Films specifically, I want to point out a few, including Scum's Wish. Oh, no, not Scum's Wish. Love and Lies, which was crap. They did the Berserk anime from 2016, which was crap. And they did some, like a bunch of random stuff that is not good at all. So this is Brendan's lesson. This is going to be his lesson in, even though there are great studios working on great things, there are also great studios working on bad things. Like, please put them on Takamine-san.
I feel this could be potentially good and I'm going to die on this smutty hill. And, you know, Leiden Films, they've also done like Rurouni Kenshin recently. They did Insomniac's After School recently, Goblin Slayer. So yes, they have put their name to some shit. I will fully own that. But as far as recent consistency, there's been more hits than misses. So I'm hoping this will continue the hit. And you know what? Like, it's the number 7th most popular anime on MAL for the season. So surely it's going to be good, right? Question mark, maybe? Or is it just a lot of horny people out there?
I think it's just a lot of like 16-year-old boys just adding it to their list. I'm skipping this one. Even if someone tells me, oh, it's actually really good, no.
Well, I will provide status updates infrequently here on More Than Headlines as far as please put them on Takamine-san, because I'm optimistic until it lets me down, and then I'll probably give it another go anyway because I'm a sucker like that. Number 4 on my list, it is also on your list. It is the number 5 most popular anime of the season, which is surprising to me. I thought this might have been like number 1 with a bullet just based off global hysteria. But we're talking about My Hero Academia Vigilantes. I'm really excited to see where this goes. Now, I'm a sucker for a good vigilante anti-hero type of story and character. And knowing that this predates the original My Hero Academia storyline makes it even better. Like, we will have some crossover with All Might and some of the sort of older dogs from the mainline My Hero story. But I like that we've got a fresh take on this world with fresh characters and that it's going to be a little grittier and darker tying into the vigilante aspect. So I'm optimistic this is going to be good.
I feel the same as you. I think, like, we've talked about it before, especially when it was announced, and how we like the fact that it is, you know, while it's still in the My Hero universe, it has a completely different vibe to it. Like you said, it has the grittier vibe. We're looking at, you know, vigilantes, like, these guys aren't trained heroes, but obviously they, you know, want to be. But yeah, I think it looks like it's going to be good. I'm excited. I'm excited that it's more My Hero, but fresh.
And I think we need that. Like, My Hero is still really, really great at the moment. But yeah, something that's going to maybe re-energize and reinvigorate this franchise is never a bad thing. So yeah, I'm feeling quietly confident that My Hero Academia is going to be a great watch when it drops, over the next week or so, which is exciting.
Yes.
My number 3, it is on your list as well, and it is the number 3 most popular anime on the spring MAL list. We're talking about Lazarus. I'm hoping the combination of Watanabe plus science fiction plus MAPPA plus potential linkage to other IP such as Cowboy Bebop equates to brilliance, as I'm loving everything I've seen and read about Lazarus so far. Like, it's just got that cool, slick sci-fi vibe that Watanabe does better than most people in this field, and I am 100% here for it.
Yeah, everyone's been talking about it. We've been talking about it. It's the name that is on everyone's lips right now. I'm going to read the synopsis quickly. So the year is 2052, an era of unprecedented peace and prosperity prevailing across the globe. The reason for this, mankind has been freed from sickness and pain. Nobel Prize winning neuroscientist Dr. Skinner has developed a miracle cure-all drug with no apparent drawbacks called Hapuna. Hapuna soon becomes ubiquitous and essential. However, soon after Hapuna is officially introduced, Dr. Skinner vanishes. 3 years later, the world has moved on, but Dr. Skinner has returned, this time as a harbinger of doom. Skinner announces that Hapuna has a short half-life. Everyone who has taken it will die approximately 3 years later. Death is coming for all and coming soon. As a response to this threat, a special task force of 5 agents is gathered from across the world to save humanity from Skinner's plan. This group is called Lazarus. Can they find Skinner and develop a vaccine before time runs out?
It sounds so good!
It really does. I'm so excited.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for this.
Yeah, I think this is going to hit. I think this is going to be a humper, and it's going to review really well, and it's going to be one of the best this season.
Yes, I agree.
God, I'm so excited for Lazarus. Again, I don't know if it's going to be a single drop or if they're going to drip feed this on Netflix. We haven't got confirmation on that yet, have we?
No.
Oh, not Netflix. Sorry, it's getting handled through...
It'll fall on Adult Swim.
Yeah, so it'll be on like Disney here in Australia.
Yeah.
My apologies.
I'm so excited.
Me too. I'm also excited for my number two on the list here. It is the number one ranked anime as far as popularity goes for the spring season, and it ain't even close. Like, it is double the amount of people with 157,000 compared to the 80 odd thousand tied into the other sort of seconds and thirds here. We're talking about Fire Force season 3. I was late to this world, Courtney. I originally dismissed it because I just thought it was literally nothing more than a series about just generic run-of-the-mill firefighters. How wrong was I? I fell in love with the world and I fell in love with the characters pretty well instantaneously. I wanted to shout out to my favorite muscle mummy, Maki Ose. Gorgeous, powerful force of a woman. And I feel very good that I did finally give it a chance because, like I said, just instant attraction, instant love. This world is sick. It's fun. It's action-packed. I love the concept. It's brilliantly animated by David Production, and the soundtrack goes way, way too hard. Like, do you like the news drop? That big boom is based off an attack from Fire Force. Like, it is so good and so unique, and it is just phenomenal, and I'm hyped for it. Have you copped any of Fire Force at all?
I haven't, but this is one that has been on my list for a while and I need to get on it, especially now that the third season is coming out. It's back on my radar for sure. And I was the same as you. I was like, at first I thought it was about just firefighters, but then after season 1 ended and I saw so many people obsessed with it, I was like, okay, this is something more.
It's so much more. And just the cast of characters, like, there's such an assortment of unique individuals: hot boys, hot girls, crazy boys, crazy girls, crazy fights, big stakes. Like, it is so fun and one of the best shonen doing the rounds.
Yeah, it's on my list. I'll get there. Okay. One day.
Yeah, in the next decade we'll get there. And my number one for the season, it is the number 6th rated anime for the male spring 2025 edition. We're talking about The Beginning After the End, which is a manhwa that I have been reading at the moment. Absolutely loving this story, and the fact that it's getting the anime treatment has me feeling very excited. The story does Resurrection Fantasy better than most, in my opinion, and it's chock full of world building, conflict and intrigue. And you combine that with the protagonist, formerly King Grey, now known as Arthur, who you can genuinely care and root for, which I love. You can get invested and you can sort of be with them side by side as they go on this journey, is really good and testament to the story that's getting told there. His potential love interest, Tessia Erelath, anything but a damsel in distress, I should say. Like, she's a powerful little heroine in her own right. And seeing them two grow up together and the bond they forge amidst all this global fantasy conflict and magic and swordplay and monsters and demons and dragons and all this stuff. Like, I feel this is a winning combination that could be poised for greatness. And hopefully, if it sticks the landing, it'll be one of the best anime of 2025.
So I'm actually really curious, Brendan, because so I haven't read the manhwa, and we decided that we were going to watch this for our seasonal review next season after Sakamoto Days this season. And I originally wasn't going to put this on my list because I thought, you know, it's fantasy. It's that kind of reincarnation fantasy that we know that I'm not generally a fan of. But I thought, you know, I'll give it a go. But then I learned that it's being animated by Studio A-Cat, who pretty much have not done anything worth watching ever. So I'm hoping that maybe the fact that the source material is so popular and so good will kind of bring it up. But supposedly people are a bit concerned, actually.
That is probably the biggest worrying part because, yeah, the highest rated from a sort of community-based score that Studio A-Cat have done is a 6.75. So, yes, that is not sounding too fantastic. But from what I see in the trailer, the money that's getting sort of funneled into the animation seems to be of a substantial amount. Like, it looks good. The characters look like they've been ripped straight off the page. It feels very familiar. It doesn't look like it's a Timu version of the manhwa at all. I hope that it's not just all the money funneled into the trailer and we find out that maybe the episodic week by week is not where we want it to be. So I'm trying to be optimistic. I'm trying to be hopeful because I read, I think it's chapter 211, I think, dropped this past week. Like, it is such a good story and there's a grand tale that can be told over many a season if people get behind this one. So yeah, Studio A-Cat, please don't fuck me over.
Yeah, I'm hoping for the same because I want to be talking positively each week about whatever it is we watch. So fingers crossed that it's amazing.
Fingers crossed. So yeah, that's the end of my list, Courtney. But you've got four on your list that I do not have on mine. So let's start unpacking those ones.
Yep. So I realized that I actually have 17 because there was one that I missed. So there's 17 this season that I'm watching. I'm going to start with Everyday Host, which is probably the one that I'm least excited for, I would say. And on my anime list, it's sitting pretty low down on the seasonal rankings. But this is a story about a former life insurance salesman who, in a moment of desperation, makes the unexpected leap into the world of hosts and hosting. At Club One, he finds himself surrounded by a cast of eccentric personalities, a younger brother type host with 20 years of experience, a former idol specializing in romantic sales tactics, and a hyper-aggressive host obsessed with mobile games. Despite thinking this isn't a job for anyone with a sane mind, Hajime uses his polished insurance sales skills to attract clients and carve out a surprising niche for himself. This, to me, sounds really fun. It's based off a four-koma manga, so each episode is only going to be 3 minutes long. Adult cast, gag humor, which I love, workplace, hosts, so we've got some handsome men. I think it's just going to be fun and silly.
I think so too, and knowing they're only going to be three-minute episodes, that makes me feel a little bit more positive because I watched the trailer and the art style and the animation did not really vibe with me too much because it felt like I was watching a cutscene from a video game on a PlayStation 2. And I'm like, I don't know about this one. But after some of the most recent stuff we've watched that are tied into sort of this host theme, I was like, maybe do I give it a go? And maybe knowing they're 3 minutes, I might dip a toe and sort of feel it out. But I'm going to wait and see what you think first before I jump on in there.
Yeah, definitely. It's the kind of thing where, especially for me, because I love animation that's just different. Like, I love when something is animated in a strange way or using a technique or art style that is very different to traditional anime, which I know a lot of people don't really vibe well with, which is totally fine. It's a personal preference thing. So when I saw it had this like weird animation, I instantly was like, yep, I'm interested. Put me in, coach. So we'll see how it goes. But the next one on my list is Uchujin Mumu, which means alien Mumu. This one is about a cat-like alien from a distant galaxy, Mumu, arrives on Earth. His goal is to learn about home appliance technology to recover the technology his species has lost. The protagonist, Sakurako, has a typical university life, but everything changes with Mumu's arrival. What begins as an unexpected cohabitation quickly turns into a whirlwind of chaotic events. The chemistry between the two leads to a super spectacular appliance-filled and cat comedy adventure. So the reason that I added this to my list is because I love a fucking dumb premise.
Well, that's this.
Yeah, like I love it. And I love that the main, like the alien is a cat. I love anything that kind of centers around cats. There was a series, I think it was last year, about a giant talking cat that did all the housework for his owner. And like,
oh, yeah.
It didn't have a great score, but I loved it. I was like, this is so fun and so silly and cool. So Uchujin Mumu, I'm getting the same, like similar vibes. So that's why I've added it to my list.
Yeah, I debated this for about 5 seconds and then went, nah, again, like Mumu, the alien cat heading to Earth to try and understand how a microwave works. I think, yes, that concept sounds ridiculous and probably will have a few laughs, but the trailer didn't fully gel with what I was, I guess, hoping or expecting. Again, the animation and the art style, a little different again.
Yeah.
And I'm completely with you, Courtney. Like, I like when there is something aesthetically that does look unique comparative to the rest of this list, but it just gave me, again, like sort of cheap vibes. And I'm like, am I going to mess with this? I'm just going to wait and see what Courtney says after copping an episode or two, and then maybe I'll sort of sneak around the back and have a watch. But yeah, I don't know. But like OLM's attached to it. Like they're a very reputable studio and they do fantastic, fantastic work. So that leads me to think maybe it's worth looking at. But yeah, the trailer just didn't hit for me.
And look, to be clear, I want to say the bottom three on my list, so Catch Me at the Ballpark, Uchujin Mumu, and Everyday Host, I'm not expecting great things. Like, I'm not expecting anything amazing. The reasons they're on my list are all quite different. Like, Ballpark is for the baseball, Mumu is for a cat alien, and Everyday Host is because they're three-minute episodes. So, I have intentionally put these on my list to watch as, you know, these are my hands-free anime.
Yep.
These are my, you know, I'm putting on my makeup anime kind of vibes.
That's fair. That's fair. The next one on your list, though, I was very, very close to finding a spot for this because I love the concept.
Yes. So the next one on my list, the Mononoke Lecture Logs of Chuzenji Sensei. He just solves all the mysteries. That's the title.
Settle down with these titles, please. They're getting longer.
He just solves all the mysteries. When I saw that, I was like, well, how can I not watch this? Yeah.
How can you not know how this is going to end up? Like, you know the ending of the anime right there. Like,
he's solving all the mysteries. Yeah. So this series, I'm going to read the synopsis. School, supernatural, mystery. This story takes place before The Exorcist Kyogokudo opened up a used bookstore. Our setting is in Tokyo in 1948. Just after the war. Kanna Kusakabe has just become a second year at a high school when she meets the new language teacher, Akihiko Chuzenji. Mysterious supernatural things keep happening around Kanna. Once again today, she's going to open the doors to the library prep room to seek help from the surly Chuzenji sensei who is waiting inside. A high school supernatural mystery featuring the unlikely duo between a teacher and a high school girl is about to begin. Why is he so hot?
Why did they? That's the rules.
Like, they made him so handsome. And they're like, he's with this girl who she just like looks like a little frog girl. Like, and he's just like this fucking absolute stud of a man.
He's a hunk, some might say, Courtney.
Yeah, he's a hunk. And look, I feel like it's not going to be fantastic. I don't have super high hopes for this. But it is up my alley. Honestly, the thing that really drew me in was Chuzenji Sensei with his piercing eyes and very...
like his hot, angsty smolder.
Yeah, like smoldering face. He looks like he's about to tell me off, and I kind of love that.
I also love and hope I never get called this in my life, because if I ever get compared to a frog as far as from a looks point of view, I think I will die immediately. Instant death, bury me 6 feet under. If you want to know how to hurt me, that's the way. Like, that's dangerous, sort of throwing that out to the internet right now, but I don't think there's many harsher things you've said to describe someone on this podcast than you have when you reference this poor girl. She looks nothing like, I think you said a fucking frog. I think that were the exact words. Like, this poor girl. Poor girl. She's haunted. Leave her alone. Leave Carter alone.
She just, like, she has, so for the listeners out there, she just, her eyes are quite far apart. She has really short brown hair, and her face is just really forgettable. And I'm like, I don't know, looks like a frog.
Yeah, okay. She wouldn't look out of place in Honey Lemon Soda with those eyes, that's for sure.
No, she would fit right in Honey Lemon Soda, full of frogs, that show.
Jesus Christ. Okay, what is your last one on your watch list for the spring season of 2025?
Okay, this is 100% my most anticipated anime for this upcoming season. It's the Black Butler Emerald Witch arc. So we just had the Black Butler Public School arc, not this previous season, but the season before. It was great. I loved it. If you know me, you know I love Black Butler. It was my first anime that I watched when I knew I was watching anime. And I feel like nothing this series does can be wrong. Like, everything that I see from Yana Toboso is fantastic. I love this world. So this arc of Black Butler, synopsis: by the Queen's orders, Sebastian and Ciel head to Germany to investigate mysterious deaths that have been occurring. As the two investigate the truth behind the werewolf forest, where anyone who steps foot inside is cursed to death, a terrible curse falls upon them. So we have a very, very little synopsis here, but if you know Black Butler and you know Sebastian and Ciel, you know the Queen is like, Ciel, please go and investigate what's going on in Germany, which is interesting. Normally, I think they've been to China, but normally they're set in England. So now we're going to Germany. I'm super excited.
Like, the plot, it sounds interesting. It's no alien cat coming to learn about washing machines and televisions, but it does sound good. I'm very far behind on Black Butler. I really enjoyed my time with it many moons ago, and I need to commit to jumping back in, because knowing how much you and how much the rest of the world love and adore these characters and this story gives me a little bit of FOMO, because it is cool and it is an enjoyable watch, and I like the mystery element and the detective element. Like, you were talking earlier, you've only got room for one, but I count three on your list as far as that's tied true to detective and sort of crime and mystery solving here. So you're lying to us. You could have snuck a fourth one on there.
Potentially, but honestly, I will say, so Black Butler, yes, it's detective, but it's like the main focus isn't detective. That's what the detective part is what they use as a vessel to put Sebastian on our screens, which I respect. And then what was the other one? The Mononoke Journal by Chuzenji Sensei. He just solves everything.
And then Your Former was the third one.
Yeah, Your Former. So Your Former is the only one that I think is like solidly detective. Like, Chuzenji Sensei seems, once again, like another excuse to put a hot man on our screens. So, yeah.
That's fair. We like what we like, and you own your truth, and I love and adore that about you. So I appreciate that. And it looks good. Like, Cloverworks, one of the best studios in the game, constantly animating these people to look unfairly attractive. And yeah, I'm sure the world will be loving the Emerald Witch arc when it drops. And, you know, tying into some curse related stuff with werewolves, like, what's not to like?
I'm so excited. But Brendan, you said that your list was longer. You've managed to bring it down to 20. I'm curious what you have taken off your list.
Okay, so if we're going to go in malpopularity order, and this surprised me that this somehow ended up being like number two, I think now number three overnight. I think it's just been bumped by Lazarus looking at the live scoring there. but I've been killing slimes for over 300 years and maxed out my level. I watched season one of this, and this was just dumb, cozy, nothing fantasy. I watched this 4 years ago and thought, okay, that was it. That was just a 12 episode one and done. Cool. It killed some time. Somehow got a second season 4 years later. Will I maybe watch it eventually when I run out of things to do? Yeah, maybe, because yeah, like I said, it was decently animated, very low stakes stuff, just cute and about a very powerful female sort of fantasy starlet just trying to live a quiet life after all this time. So that was on my shortlist.
I just want to say it's series like this that make me realize how much my anime list has evolved as a platform. Because when I started using my anime list back in 2012, the only people that knew about it were people who were super, super into anime, like myself and some of my other friends, and all the scores and things like these seasonal, like plan to watch rankings were really, really accurate because it was people that were really serious about anime, taking it really seriously, essentially. And, you know, everything was really accurate. But now I feel like since... I'm so glad that anime has become mainstream, but I feel like since that has happened, my anime list has, you know, gotten a lot more popular. People have started using it to track their anime. And a lot of people on the site just have really shit opinions. Like, this should not be the number three most anticipated anime of the fall season. Oh, sorry, of the summer season.
Of the spring season.
Spring season. Thank you. Spring season. Like, why is this in front of Windbreaker or the new My Hero?
I don't know. It makes no sense, but the masses have spoken. I'm just going to quickly sort of smash through these other ones because we don't need to deep dive on these. But other ones that were on my list, Can a Boy-Girl Friendship Survive? Number 9 on Mal. Summer Pockets, number 21 on Mal. The Two Perfect Saint Tossed Aside by My Fiancé and Sold to Another Kingdom, number 28 on Mal. The Dinner Table Detective, number 31 on Mal. And Licorice Recoil, Friends Are Thieves of Time. So that what they're doing with Licorice Recoil, which is, you know, a really enjoyable action espionage jaunt from 2 years ago now. We've got 6 short movies done by 6 different directors coming out this season. I don't know if it's going to be like a weekly drop for the 6 or if it's going to be all at once, but I'm going to check that out as well. But because it's sort of a little different as far as the pacing and how it's going to come out, I didn't chuck it on the list. But yeah, they're the other ones that I was umming and ahhing about when I was putting this list together.
Very fair. None of those sound exciting to me. I'm glad you've removed them all.
Jesus. I thought The Dinner Table Detective might get some run for you. I thought it could potentially make your list, maybe. Being the detective fiend that you are.
No, I'm not even a detective fiend. I don't know how these detective anime end up on my list. It's so wild.
I think you're in denial. You're like, apparently. I hate them, but now I've got 3 of them on this list. Oh no, how?
My secret love, detective anime.
Just be honest with us all right here, right now. You love detective anime, don't you?
Apparently, Dad's going to come in and see me watching something detective anime and be like, oh, is this the one about the princess principal detective? No.
Is this the one about the guy that solves everything?
Yeah. Is this about creepy Sherlock? No.
Yeah. It's like when you'd watch Law and Order SVU and you'd see like the special guest star and it's like some like B-grade or A-grade acting. You're like, yep, that's the bad guy. That's the villain.
Yep.
We know who's going to be the killer.
Yeah. Like, yeah, Logan Paul. He was in the episode.
Oh my, what?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness. I hope Stable like kicked his ass.
Yeah, me too.
And Benson. Yeah, both of them just.
Logan Paul is in an episode of SVU.
This is the darkest timeline, Courtney.
Truly.
All right, so let's go with our spring predictions. So from our respective lists here, what do you think is going to score the highest and what do you think is going to score the lowest? That can be sort of from our list combined if you wanted.
Mm.
And let's just say the loser buys the winner something tasty.
I think the highest scoring, like 100%, is going to be Lazarus.
Mm-hmm.
I think that one's going to take all of the awards. And I think the lowest scoring will probably be, I want to say, maybe... Oh, this is tricky. Yeah, maybe the children of the Shionji family.
Son of a bitch, that was on my list. I was like, I'm going to take that. I don't think she's down there. Okay. All right. So in the interest of determining a winner, I don't want to just like piggyback off
Wait,
that.
Wait, actually, can I take it back?
Sure.
I think the lowest score will be Everyday Host.
Okay. Okay.
Because it's only 3 minutes. Yeah. So Lazarus, highest, Everyday Host, lowest.
Okay. I'm going to go then, yeah, Children of the Shinuji Family as the lowest score. And the highest score, I'm going to ride the Mal hype and go 5-4 season 3.
Very fair. Okay. All right.
We'll revisit this at the end of our seasonal recap in about 3 months' time.
Yes. Oh, my gosh. You're going to buy me something tasty, Brendan. Get ready.
Damn it.
All right. Let's get into some rapid-fire news real quick, presented by Otaku Box, the only anime box with scale figures, voting, and ecchi. We have 3 quick headlines here. Chainsaw Man the movie, Raze Arc anime announces September 19 debut, so we don't have too much longer to wait for that. The Chao anime film has announced an August 15 debut, so we'll be getting that one sooner rather than later. And second seasons have been confirmed for Blue Box and Medalist.
Good news all around there, especially the second season confirmations for Blue Box and Medalist, two of my favorite anime from this current season, as well as I guess the season before that, because obviously Blue Box has sort of folded into multiple seasons this year. But good times, and I cannot wait to see the Chainsaw Man film in the cinema with some popcorn and a choc top. I love that they've sort of simplified the art style and the animation a little bit jumping into the movie, and hopefully they do that moving forward with the series drops of it as well. But good times, Courtney. I'm hyped for all of this.
Yeah, I'm super excited. I'm so glad that Medalist is getting a second season as well.
I cried my little eyes out in episode 12 the other day. It was so great. And seeing Tsukasa get spotlighted in that episode, oh, my boy, it is creeping up to be one of my, like, my favorite of the season. Like, I was putting my list together as far as ordering it, and my top five has seesawed a lot the last week or so.
Yeah, he's good value. I love him as a character.
It's so good. So good. But we won't really do what we've been watching or what we've been reading this week, because next week, episode 43 is going to be our winter season in review. So we're going to be going through everything we watched this past winter season. So we'll probably avoid talking about that for now, because we're going to be doing that again and then some next week. So we might just sort of jump into final comments, Courtney. Anything you wanted to say, mention, or shout out?
Yes. I have recently been playing the new Chikawa mobile game, Chikawa Pocket. It came out last week. It's amazing. I'm obsessed. You basically, it's an idle game where you're like constantly fighting the evil bugs, and you just like level up your guys, because each time you beat a bug, it gets harder. So I've been doing that. Really, really fun. Like, it sends me notifications and it's like, time to weeding. I'm like, yeah, probably. Let's go, Chikawa. 420. Even Dan's been playing it. So like, I see him randomly playing it and I'm like, yes, I've got him.
Dan, blink twice if you are forced to play this game against your will.
And I also, of course, want to give a little shout out and thank you to our producers, Orny, Duffo, and Matthew C.
I just wanted to mention, yeah, thank you for everybody that has been interacting with us the last couple of weeks, couple of months. It's been a really fun start to the year so far. And now that we're a season in, we're catching a breath. We're obviously doing our preview this episode and then our review of the winter episode next week. Our regular programming will return the week after that. So we'll be getting back to the news eventually. But right now we've got a lot of anime to talk about. I think next week's episode we're going to be talking close to maybe 30 different anime thereabouts, which is scary to say out loud. Yeah. I've got a problem. Send help. But I'm looking forward to unpacking the good, the bad, and everything else in between next week. But follow us on the socials, particularly Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at the Sakura SOC on those. If you can chuck us a cheeky subscription on YouTube, that'd be appreciated. We're creeping our way to 700 subbies on there. So thank you for everyone that has been jumping on board. We want to try and get to 1,000 by June 30. So we still got a couple of months up our sleeve, but we need those follows and subscriptions to increase. Interact with our video content on those platforms as well. chuck us your thoughts, your feedback, emojis, whatever it is. We just need to sort of get those interactions going because it helps us stay in that algorithm. We want to live in that algorithm, Courtney. We want to get cozy and subletter space in there. Anyone that is doing that already, thank you very much. But yeah, it brings us to the end of episode 42, our spring preview episode. But whether you're anime be subbed, dubbed, or still yet to come, enjoy yourself and much love to all the gorgeous waifus and husbandos out there. Goodbye.
またねー。